The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to the Kiefer and Curry Show. I love this show because I get a chance to do a show with obviously a friend of mine that I've known for a long period of time. I'm also doing television with Kip Kiefer. He's in Atlanta right now. And we're both, I'd say, relatively in the same age. We both have children. Your age of your children a little older than mine.
I'm learning
precariously through you. I have a 13-year-old daughter, which of course you didn't have, but I'm learning things about fatherhood and everything else. And so we do several shows on TKR, not to mention, of course, on the starting lineup, and of course, all the things you're doing on terrestrial radio. But I get a chance to come up with some topics once in a while that I think would be a lot of fun to talk to with a person's my age. And today I want to talk about sex symbols.
Okay.
This past weekend, we did a show last week, the week before, about movies. And this past weekend, my son wanted to watch two of the Avenger movies. Okay. You and I have mentioned the fact that we have seen just a ton of movies together, but and apart, but not together, is the fact that we've seen the same movie, but we have not seen a lot of these Marvel, DC comic type of movies. And you're like, how many can we make? I mean, my gosh, there's 15 Spider-Mans out there. What in the hell is going on? So I was watching Avengers, and I guess it was the second to the last one before Endgame, because I ended up watching Endgame too, believe it or not. I absolutely loved them. It was the most amazing. I'm 59 years old. The third one, I have not seen the first two. The third one was fantastic. Gwyneth Paltrow, by the way, was in the third one, and she looks fantastic. She was also, and then yesterday my son's like, you want to watch the last one? And they all kind of come together, go together. If you could make one long movie, and I know some people watched all four together, it's like 9.5 hours. If you want to watch the entire, and they all kind of work together. So, because the story continues. If you end the third one, it's to be continued. And so you have to watch the fourth one. And it is one of the highest grossing movies of all time. I mean, it blew past Titanic. I mean, this movie's huge. So it was great. It was fantastic. It had a great storyline. It's got every single actor. It's got Rudd in it. It's got Iron Man. It's got all these huge stars in it, and they're all together in this and they've all done their own movies, right? But then they all come together, and it's amazing to see all these actors on the same screen at the same time. It kind of blows your brain away. Chris Pratt's in it. It goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. So I'm watching that, and then I'm flipping around, and I watch MLB Network yesterday. My son loves Major League Baseball, and of course, what's the Kevin Costner flick with Susan Sarandon?
Bull Durham.
Bull Durham comes on.
Classic.
And I just got to the part where she has finally manipulated him to the point where they're going to be together, and he's taking one finger and he's popping the top on her, and he's going down and he gets the belt. It's one of the greatest scenes in all of movies. One of the greatest scenes in all of movies. He pops her garter belt and she goes, "Oh my." And yeah. I mean, I had to go back and look at it a couple of times where he pops that garter belt with one finger and she goes, "Oh my." And it's like, it's the sexiest scene without seeing any body parts I've ever seen in my life. It is. I'll take that over nudity any day. And she is so smoking hot in that movie. She is unbelievable. And then came to find out this morning that, Lonnie Anderson passed away yesterday.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
She passed away at the age of 79. She had an acute illness. And I had heard that earlier this morning. Of course, she was on WKRP in Cincinnati for a three-year run.
A show.
That show was fantastic, but it was way before its time. As a matter of fact, it was much like the Brady Bunch in that it was not successful at all its first run, but it was really successful in its syndication. Then, of course, they tried to bring it back, and they tried to bring back the original cast, and it was beyond its time with Howard Hessman and Chris Bonner and Jan Smithers and Andy Summer and all those guys. Lonnie Anderson, of course, was the blonde bombshell who played the unbelievable receptionist in radio. And anyone that's been in radio, and Kip, I know you're gonna agree with me on this. That show was so perfectly. I mean,
it was amazing.
It was amazing. I mean, you know, Frank Bonner was Herb Winch's, Gordon, what's his face was, Mike Hammack. I mean, Hammond, everyone in that movie, I was like, that is so-and-so, that is so-and-so. I've worked with that person. Jan Smithers was the promotions director. I know exactly who that person is.
Was the ultimate newsman.
Yeah. Les Nessman was the ultimate. Oh, the humanity. The turkeys jumping out.
That was my all time favorite. They had the great idea, him and Herb to, I call him Herb now.
Herb Tarlick.
But they had the idea to release live turkeys from a helicopter at the shopping mall. And they did not stop to consider that turkeys can't fly. Mm-hmm. So Les Nessman is doing a report from the, oh my God, they're bombing the West Side Mall with live turkeys. Oh, the humanity.
It was great. Yeah. And even Herb Tarlick and Herb Winch's. I mean, they both were named Herb. It was like, it was so spot on for anyone who has ever wondered what it was really like in radio.
And I mean, of course, a lot of people had the prototypes of each of those occupations in a radio station.
Oh, man.
Down.
There was the token black guy always worked at night.
Oh yeah.
On the rock station, because that's where he was. We had to have one black person hired for airtime.
And he had the incense.
It was. And then of course, and a lot of people considered myself when I got here in the '80s, the Howard Hessman of that radio station. Of course, the first thing everyone knew I was from Cincinnati. I know, did you work at WKRP? And that was the question. I was like, no, I didn't work at KRP, but I know what you're talking about. And because it was WKRP in Cincinnati.
Johnny Fever.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So she passes away. She was given that gig and they were looking for this, the blonde bombshell.
Yeah.
And she hadn't done a lot of work in television before that job. And she said, I don't have a problem being as sexy as you want me to be. I'll wear the tightest clothes you need me to be in. But I do want to turn the whole idea of the blonde bombshell on its head. And so she talked to the directors of WKRP in Cincinnati. And they were like, well, tell us what you think. She goes, how about I dress very provocatively? I am the blonde bombshell, but I'm also the smartest person in the room.
Yeah. And that was a great idea.
And it was. Not only was she incredibly fun to watch, but she wasn't the dumb blonde. She was the really smart blonde who really played everyone off, because everyone just, I mean, like Herb Tarlick, he was all over her. And of course, she made him look like a buffoon, but she was still fun to watch. Yet, if you go back and watch, say, Stroker Ace, the movie that she did with Burt Reynolds, that eventually end up seeing her and Burt Reynolds get married for, I guess, 6 to 8 years. There are several scenes in that movie where she does play the blonde that isn't the smartest knife in the drawer. And she knew her place. And she always said, you know, I had no problem being the blonde bombshell. I had no problem being the dumb blonde, the smart blonde, any blonde. I knew who I was. And I am grateful that I've gotten a chance to be in this business, and whatever job came my way, I took it and I tried to turn it into mine. And whether that was me being stupid or me being smart or being revelation, whatever it was, I did that. And she said, sometimes I think a lot of females don't play parts or won't play parts because they don't quite figure out into how they play their regular. And I don't want people to look at me this way. She goes, I knew who I was secure enough of myself and I knew exactly what I was all about. And so I didn't mind that. I didn't do that. And there's a couple of great scenes in Stroke Race too. I may have to go watch that later this afternoon just because she was so smoking hot in that movie. So I was going back thinking about, and then Freaky Friday 2 is out. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, it's hard to believe that you know, 10, 15 years ago, I would have given anything to sleep with either one of those co-stars, Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan. I think Lindsay Lohan still is beautiful. She's a nutcase. Do you remember True Lies with Jamie Lee Curtis?
Oh my
gosh. And the scene where she's doing the strip tease thing. I mean, it's like, there are so many and you want to talk about a really smart woman, because of obviously in one of the first movies I saw her in, Trading Places, she's topless in that movie. Thank goodness. She's unbelievably beautiful. She was also in a movie, I think, wasn't she in a movie with John Travolta where she's doing some, she was doing some aerobic, movie, but with a body perfect. What was it called?
Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah. I think of something like that. Yeah. So she
knew what she was doing. I mean, it was a movie about her.
And of course she was terrorized by Michael Myers in the original Halloween.
Exactly. So she knew exactly what she was doing. And probably, I think a lot of people would say, is probably one of the smartest, most upright, most beautiful women in all of Hollywood.
And she was the daughter of Hollywood royalty, Tony Curtis and Absolutely. Janet Leigh, mm-hmm. who both were megastars in their time. So she came from quite the pedigree.
So I was going through, I had mentioned on this show that I had a little picture of Farrah Fawcett. I wasn't allowed to have the poster, but there was a black and white picture of her. It was about this big on the inside of Section B2, which was the Metro Entertainment section, the Cincinnati Enquirer in 1981. And I cut that picture out, and it's a picture of the poster, but it's in black and white. It's this big. And I put it above my bed, and I put it on my bed. And of course, my dad one night comes in to say goodnight, and he sees it, and he goes, "What the hell is that?" And I was maybe 14, 15. I said, "It's Farrah Fawcett." He's like, get that off your bed. We're not putting that kind of smut up in this house."
Smut, yeah.
And of course, my dad was not a prude by any stretch. I mean, I went to Vegas with him for 20 times. So he was just being dad, I guess. He was like, get that crap off your bed. We're beyond that, kind of stuff. But right next to that, on the outside of the bed, which was up against the wall, there was a poster of Lonnie Anderson. And that was also a picture of her poster. And she even mentioned several years ago, back in the 70s and 80s, all the girls did posters. That was the thing. We didn't do movies. We did posters. Oh, yeah. And of course, Farrah Fawcett really got that. Farrah Fawcett, I would say Cheryl Teagues. Cheryl Teagues was the most famous. That was the one that was almost, it was pornographic. You could see her nipples through the mesh top.
Absolutely.
That was the one that really kind of made that see-through type of thing mainstream. And of course that was part of the SI swimsuit issue. I couldn't believe it. We could actually see her nipples through this shoe. We were like, oh my gosh, and that just became main. And what we mentioned, I used to go to Spencer's all the time. First thing you go to Spencer's, you go all the way back to the store to the right-hand side. That's where the posters were. Yep. The first thing I'd always do is go flip through the posters. That's what I always do. And there used to be a line of three or four different guys waiting to go through the posters because we knew that the new stuff was coming out, and that was the 70s and 80s, blonde bombshells, beautiful women, and hopefully you'd see some nudity. So I go back to Lonnie Anderson, the Suzanne Summers, the Farrah Fawcetts, the Sharon Stones, the Kim Basingers, the Susan Sarandons, the Michelle Pfeiffers. I could go on and on and on. And that it doesn't exist anymore. Or does it exist? And I don't care about looking at it anymore. It just, what I'm saying here is there's just no bombshells anymore. Women have gotten so independent, and I'm happy for women. Don't get me wrong. If this is where you want to go, this is great. The reason why divorces, they got this thing called the gray divorce now, which is divorces after 50. Used to be about 9%. Now it's closer to 40% because women are finding themselves. They want to be independent. They got married. They're part of the baby boomer bunch. And they realize, listen, I can still get a divorce in my 50s and still have half my life left and do whatever I want to do. They don't want to stay married. Whereas men have kind of gone the other way. We've gotten too sensitive. We've gotten too dry. We've gotten too, we're whipped. But let's be honest, women say they love men who like ferns and that we can cry, but they don't. They don't. Oh, I love a man who can cry at a movie. No, you don't. No, you
no,
don't.
You
still
don't.
You still look, and I don't ever forget, I was sitting at the car place the other day, Express Oil Change. I had a pair of nice black slacks on with a black jacket. I was fixing to go do our show, ABC 3340. And a guy come in, and there were three other women in the room with us, and they were okay. They were all anywhere probably in their 20s or 30s. A guy walks in, beard, flannel shirt, it was about 95 degrees outside, flannel shirt, cowboy boots, tight jeans on, had a big smut of dirt on the side of his face, baseball cap, got out of a work truck, don't look like he worked for Spectrum or something, gets in there, and these women couldn't stop looking at this dude.
You're kidding.
No, and I'm sitting there going, I mean, you could tell, and he's on the phone going, "Yeah, I'll take care of that. Yeah, I got to fix that plumbing issue." But he was a man's man. We all want to be men's men. We all want to know how to change tires and change the oil in our car on the side of the road. Yeah, blah 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 blah.
That's overrated.
And so the perfect man is a guy who is capable of doing those things and being a man's man, saving the family's life, but also crying at an Avengers movie. And that changes as you get older. And I know I've been talking a lot here, but what happened?
I'm listening.
What happened to the blonde bombshell? What happened? Name me a blonde bombshell. Name me a woman now who is in film, who is on television, who is a sex symbol, who doesn't mind playing a dumb blonde and who is just like, we're all like, oh, they don't exist anymore. They don't. And even the blonde bombshells from our time will say, yeah, I had a part in that. But it's important for them to take on a movie role or a television show where they're not that person. Even Suzanne Summers towards the end of her career, you know, she was trying to get Farrah Fawcett to The Beds Are Burning. They were all trying to do movies that would show and encapsulate the fullness of what they were as an actress. I'm not just a beautiful woman in a bathing suit, but you were, and you are, and that's what made you famous. I mean, for God's sakes, who didn't watch Baywatch? Why did we watch Baywatch? Not because of the great plot lines of the stories. Of your
the
woman,
Hoff,
you,
baby.
You went and saw the Hoff because he was bare chested, and we went and saw Pam. We went and saw Pamela. We went and saw Pamela Anderson run slow mo down the beach.
Exactly.
Yasmin Bleeth run slow mo down the beach. That's the only reason we did that. So yeah, I just want to get your thoughts on that and the loss of Lonnie Anderson yesterday, because I feel like we don't have many of these left. And Barbara Eden, by the way, who I got an opportunity to actually interview. A couple of times, she was very good friends with Dawn Wells, who I also had on a previous show. She came to town for the I think it was the 78th World of Wheels Custom Auto Show. TV stars and movie cars and blah, 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 blah.
And Dawn Wells was trying to give some senior moments to Tony Curry.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? She was. And you know what? She had absolutely no problem being a sex star or a sex bomb. You know why? Because she was working next to Ginger.
Oh yeah. Exactly.
And she was the blonde bomb star. She was the redhead, boobs out, this, that, and the other. And here's this little country girl. And that's why we've always made the argument, Marianne or Ginger, Ginger and Marianne. And she's like, listen, you'd fuck Ginger, but you want to be married to Marianne. And she goes, and I'll take that.
Expensive gown on the island. And Marianne, of course, in jeans and a check shirt.
But she can make a coconut cream pie, my friend.
I know. I mean, all of these, this is an interesting tie-in the way you've kind of constructed this, because Marianne was sort of the down home girl. But isn't it amazing, Tony, that some, we're coming up on 55 or 60 years now since Gilligan's Island was on, which in its premise was just absurd. But you're still having the Marianne against Ginger argument, and it's right, part of a larger societal microcosm of, you know, just like women can't decide what kind of men they're attracted to.
Go, baby, go.
Men are torn. Yep. You know, it's everybody's roles have been completely jumbled.
We don't know what the hell we want anymore. We don't.
About our era, and you highlighted it, but I mean, this went back way before us, when our dads were boys. You know, when talking pictures began in the 20s and 30s, and you had Hollywood was full of bombshell women.
Oh man,
you know, that Marilyn Monroe didn't come along to the 60s, but before that, you had Rita Hayworth and
Jane. You go on and on and on.
I mean, look at the classic years of Hollywood in the 30s and 40s. They didn't want women in those parts that had brains. No. They played them as kind of these, you know, simpletons. And things have just evolved at such a rate, you know, here 100 years later, society is completely different. Everybody's roles are redefined. And a lot of it is the emphasis on the individual instead of the group. And I appreciate that, because I'm all for it. But it sure makes it difficult to navigate now, because like you said, all the lines are blurred. There's nothing really makes a lot of sense anymore.
No. Also in the Avengers was like a Scarlett Johansson, who, by the way, for like the last 5 or 6 years has been named the sexiest person in the world by People Magazine. And you know why? Because she is who she is. She knows she's sexy. She knows she's smoking hot, but she's also got a brain. And so she's playing a superhero in this particular movie. She does a fantastic job, but she's also in Jurassic Park, where they have her in a tight white shirt for 3 hours. And it's a lot of fun to watch. I'm just telling
you. What about this Sydney Sweeney all of a sudden, who's just such a big deal in these jean ads, and all these women are coming out and not only women, but extreme leftists, saying that this is just exploitation of women, and it's disrespectful and racist and everything else, because she's a hot 28-year-old blonde selling a pair of jeans and saying, well, I know a lot of my good looks comes from my jeans. So it's kind of a double entendre. But again, now it's like a disrespectful and something to be ashamed of if you're a hot blonde and you're exploiting it to make a living.
No. Well, who's the Livy Dunn from LSU? She's come out. And I mean, have you ever seen a Livy Dunn commercial? She's doing those soft, like, I don't know, they're like yoga pants or whatever. And all she's doing is doing the splits. She does the splits for 30 seconds. And she knows what she's doing. She's beautiful. She's smoking hot. She's unbelievable. And she knows that. And I don't have a problem with that. I don't. You know, it's funny because, you know, where this line blurs is where some women still want to live the way our mothers did. They're totally good with not having to work a day in their life, particularly if they're really good looking. And they have a rich husband and they're in love and they have a family. They're totally cool with that, which we obviously don't have a problem with that. But yeah, you go through and you think about like OnlyFans, and now you go on, and certainly with the inception of the internet, it's just porn just blew up. It just blew up. You know, when you and I were young, we had to go into a store and actually pick up a Playboy or a Penthouse and put it on the counter and buy it.
It was humiliating.
It was humiliating.
I had an elementary school across the street from me, Tony, and about twice a year they'd have these giant paper drives, and they do it on a Saturday. So all that stuff was sitting out there on Sunday. I live right across the street from the school. I used to go over there and find a treasure trove. I mean, I would find like 75 girly magazines that people had thrown into that. It was like, oh boy, Fort Knox is open, you know. It was awesome.
I remember when I got married, I had two garbage bags filled with magazines, and I rolled them out the driveway, and my wife's like, what are you doing? I said, these are just magazines I've had for 10, 15 years. I don't think I need them anymore. And God, I wish I had those magazines back.
Yeah.
Because you get rid of some of them and you have some. And if you had to look one for a year,
there's always like a couple things you kept. Yeah.
Gallery magazine. Of course, there was a place called Tooties, which was down on Valley Avenue. I think it's still open.
That's
that's what they sold. So if you went in there, you were good. You know, you were fine. There was actually people that would go in there and actually look through magazines before they'd actually buy them, you know. And so, but yeah, you could get Playboy magazine or a Penthouse in any drugstore or any store, period. It had the big plate over top of it, so obviously you couldn't see the front. But yeah, the walk of death, the walk of shame, or you're going in to buy a box of condoms. You're like, you know, put that up there. You didn't want to buy condoms and a Playboy at the same time because it didn't look good. But that's what you had to do to see it. You had a brother, like I did, who was about 7 or 8 years older than me, and he always had a couple up in his drawers, and his drawer was above my drawer. So I'd always, if I wanted to see something, or someone would always have something at the radio station. Whenever I go to the radio station, I was 16 or 17, there was always the morning show guys that had all the smut magazines in their lockers. But now you can see anything you want to see wherever you go. I mean,
the internet changed everything.
No, it really did. And with that, I don't know. I would have to say if there's a 35 or 45 year old woman listening to the show right now, and I know there is, I would have to say that we're probably in a better spot. I'm not complaining. This is not a bitch session by any stretch, but I do miss the simpler days of walking in my dad's best friend's garage and seeing posters of Snap Tool women. You know, it used to be, it is what it is. The women knew they were beautiful and they made calendars.
And now companies can't possibly put out some kind of calendar for that because they'd be absolutely crucified.
And I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Yeah, because
what
beautiful women are beautiful and they'll always be marketable and they always will be able to market themselves. But I think what I find surprising, have you ever resented, have you ever looked at a male star and said, well, look at that guy. He's not that, you know, what's all the fuss about? But women actually get completely just bent out of shape on, you know, I guess it's comes back just down to competition. But, you know, I hear people say it all the time, and I don't really characterize them this way, but they say all of these really hardcore feminists are women who believe that they're just not very attractive, and they're like hostile and acting out their frustration by taking on this, you know, completely antisocial kind of attitude toward anybody who trends to or toward popular things like beautiful women.
Well, if you're, maybe it's because there's some jealousy there. I don't know.
It's competition.
If you were smoking beautiful hot and you know who you are, you can get on any social media platform and have 100,000 followers by the end of the year.
Oh, in no time.
And whether you're posting stuff, whether you're on OnlyFans, it doesn't mean you have to do anything illicit. It doesn't mean you have to get naked. You have to do this thing, but you ladies know exactly what I'm talking about. If you go through my, and I friend a lot of people on Facebook. I don't know who a lot of these people are. If I have multiple friends with crossovers, like they're friends with 17 of my friends, I'll like them. But sometimes I'll get on Facebook and every picture on the top is a picture, you know, from inside the car. And they got a low cut thing and they're like, happy Monday. And their boobs are hanging out. I'm mm-hmm. like, okay, we know what's going on here. I mean, we know what's going on here.
If you go to dating apps, you've got all the profiles.
Exactly.
But what do people do at dating apps, Tony? They go through all the pictures.
Sure.
Well, nope. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Oh, let me see about her. I mean, it's still the way of the world, and we can live in fantasy land and say that, you know, we've evolved and we're not so much into the way somebody looks. But you're just kidding yourself, because that's still what sells.
No, and I think that those days are over. I do. I mean, I don't think I'm not asking to put a Snap-on Tools calendar back in our stores. I'm not saying that we should bring Playboy back. I'm just saying that we look at sexuality and we look at women. It's like there's no middle ground anymore. It used to be a lot of middle ground. Now it's like porn. In my face, you want me, pay me $50. I'll get on the internet today and something will pop up my screen and it'll say, I'm 13 minutes away in Pelham, Ohio. You want to hook up? And I'm like, no, you got that. And then of course you got the other side who is so prudish. And oh my God, I can't believe Beyonce wore that at the Super Bowl. What the hell's the world coming to? And I'm like, come on, what are we doing here? I mean, it's like, I'm in the middle. I'm like, I don't know what you want or what you need or what you're telling me. What are you saying here?
What's going to happen in the future? I mean, already there are people reliant on artificial intelligence to have relations with, because it's a lot easier than dealing with a regular person. So I you know, the birth rate's way down. You know, the survival of our society, of our race, of humankind is at stake here, because more and more we're getting away from the core elements that have defined human beings since they evolved.
Story on 60 Minutes last night about artificial insemination or artificial eye insemination. And that is, they're saying within 10 to 15 years, these doctors, there's more women now freezing their eggs because of the Roe versus Wade overturning the whole situation of women not being able to own their own bodies. They want to make sure that they've got eggs saved for whatever the situation is, that in 10 years, women will only have sex because it's fun. And if that's the case, none of us are getting laid.
Now, it's been a long time.
The only time I got laid was when my wife was ovulating. She's like, hurry up. You need to hurry up. It's the second day of the second Tuesday of dinner. And I go, hallelujah. Let's go.
This is a new concept for me. Sex is supposed to be fun. I have always found it to be the biggest pressure cooker.
There were eight women in this room and they were like, wow, that's really interesting, because we will no longer need men in order to have babies, because we won't need it anymore.
Well, that's how a lot of other species have evolved. Nature finds a way. Remember the original Jurassic Park? Those were all female dinosaurs, but yet there were eggs that had been laid. And the guy famously says, nature finds a way.
We have frogs that can screw each other.
We're on our way out. You know about the poor what are they, praying mantises. The guy does his duty and the chick immediately devours him to fertilize their eggs.
And yet he still looks for her. What should that say about us?
But they're not backing down. They're still showing up for to do their duty, but it's the last thing they'll ever do. So, you know, the old Richard Pryor joke about his dad being with a 25-year-old girl when he was in his 70s and he didn't survive the experience. And Richard Pryor says, he came and went at the same time.
You know, I was thinking about movies too. We used to have Basic Instinct, 9.5 Weeks. We used to have some good sexy movies. What was the last thing that really gripped people? The Gray movie. What was that? I forget what it was, but there occasionally was always, you know, but now I guess with the incumbent of HBO, you know, we used to have the big box and you're like, holy crap, there's boobs on television. I've never seen that before. And next thing you know, you had Spectrovision in hotel rooms. And now, like you said, on the internet, you can see it whenever you want it. So it's just not special anymore. It's not fun anymore. Now, of course, the rom-com is a big thing. Hey, when people use words like a rom-com, are you a rom-com? Are you giving a romantic comedy? Yeah, I get that. It's more about the man and the woman finally hooking up at the end of the show, despite the fact they hate each other for the first hour and 45 minutes of the movie. I get it. That's what a rom-com is, but it's certainly changed, man. It's certainly changed along with the, my daughter had, JJ Seawalls, JJ Seawall. What is it? What is the woman? She had a poster of her and then she realized she was lesbian. That came down. I'm like, okay. JoJo Seawall.
Yeah.
My daughter thought she was great when she was like 10 and she's like, oh, she's a lesbian. I don't want that on my walls. I'm like, okay. I had no clue. Had no idea that JoJo Seawall had come out. But you don't see posters on walls anymore. And certainly
posters have gone the way of the dodo. And like you said, they had their era. I remember my first residence in college. I had the Farrah poster like everybody else plastered right there on the wall. So
that thing sold like hundreds of millions of copies.
Unbelievable.
It was so good.
You know, in those days, they were outrageous. They were $7 or $8.
Oh, I know. Right. It was fantastic.
Now they'd be 30.
If you could find an old original, I bet you'd go for a couple grand.
I bet.
I bet you an old original Farrah Fawcett. But yeah, back in those days, man, every woman, it wasn't about doing a new movie. It was, Burt Reynolds did Playgirl.
Yes, he did.
I didn't have a problem with that. I just watched an episode of Magnum PI the other day for the first time in like 30 years while I was sitting there at the original Tom Selleck. He was hot. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, he had it going on. But I mean,
Tom's 80 years old now.
He still looks good.
And he's still doing Blue Bloods.
Yeah.
And Blue Bloods is a damn good show. I really enjoy watching it. Great characters in that. Mark Wahlberg's brother is in that as well. But Tom at 80, you know, he's still got jet black hair and a black mustache.
I miss that we get to say we used to get to sexualize things. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to say it right now. I miss the days when men were men and it was that we had the boys club and we got to look at women as long as we wanted. And they appreciated the fact we were looking at them, not because we were trying to undress them in our brains, but because we knew we were going to undress them by the end of the show.
I mean, that's really the natural order of things. And what we've evolved into now is against the natural order, because if a great looking woman walks by, every guy's going to turn their head and look. And now that's like out of fashion and it's inappropriate. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yet. I work really hard on this body. I do everything I can because I want people to appreciate how hard I work on this body, and they'll wear no clothing and then we're not supposed to look for an extended period of time. I'm like, come on. I mean, we're visual animals. You can't have it both ways. Now I know hands off. We won't touch. And I promise I'll ask you once. And if you say no, then I'll leave you alone. But yeah, that's, I do miss those days where, you know, when watching Magnum PI, you knew there was going to be a hot smoking girl in every episode.
Every time.
Knew Thomas Magnum was going to hook up with her every time, and you knew he was going to save the day, and it was fantastic television. It was great.
She had early Bond movies.
James Bond movies, come on.
It's been 60 years.
One of the reasons James Bond's still where James Bond is because it is what it is. Now we have to have women who also.
When Ursula Andress came walking out in her tattered, torn like shorts, because she was like, and that scene that you know, I probably saw that when I was 7 or 8 years old, whenever that was, when Dr. No came out. Even earlier than that, I think Dr. No came out in like 64, so I was 4 or 5. But you know, it's at a stage where every Bond movie you look for, you know, the devious villain and who's gonna be the Bond girl.
And then you had the Halle Berrys come out and those Bond girls kicked ass too, and you're kind of like, okay.
Yeah, and they revived the Ursula Andress scene in the Halle Berry one. That's mm-hmm. the first time he sees her. Remember in Cuba, she's coming out of the water. Mm-hmm. So just the exact same thing.
A woman coming out of the water with a pistol. Mm. There's nothing hot. Yeah,
that's pretty hot stuff.
There's nothing wrong with that, man. If you can wear a bikini or wear a swimsuit with a pistol, you got it going on. All right, I don't know what this means. I don't. I do know there's women out there that still are incredibly independent. You're really smart. You're wonderful. Go work. Do it, everyone. But we do love a beautiful woman who's really, really sexy.
I actually have. This is a rare thing. I actually have a dinner date tonight here in Atlanta with a fabulous woman who I've known for years. Who's been divorced, I think, for 25 or 30 years. She's built her whole life, on her own. Raised a daughter who's fantastic, but she's just so fiercely independent. She's great to talk to, but you know, I don't have any aspirations because it's just, we live in an era now where women get that opportunity and prove to themselves that they don't need a man in their life to be successful. Yep. And that really makes us kind of unnecessary components. So we'll see how it goes. Maybe I'll report next week on how it proceeds, because we've been in group situations and a lot of times because we have a lot of mutual friends, but this is the first time that we've ever been out one-on-one. So this is going to be interesting.
That's going to be good. I can't wait to hear it. And like I said, before we started the show, I hope God puts the right words in your lips, on your mouth. And I hope it comes out and I hope it's smooth. And again, that's one of the things that men love about women is their independence. We love women who are independent. You know why? Because we don't think they need us. And when they don't need us, we want them. We want to chase what we can't have. And it's always been like that. We always go after the girl who we don't think is attainable and she doesn't need us. And then when we get her, then it becomes old days news.
Yeah,
and
it's like the dog chasing the car. What the hell do you do when you catch it?
Yeah, the whole idea of full run.
And you know what the answer to that is? Usually you get run over.
You usually do. And hopefully you'll learn from it, but you usually don't. You'll chase something else. And so
anybody out there listening, Kip Kiefer is tentatively available, but I don't know if that's really a true statement or not, because I like so many men our age, I don't know what the hell I want, and I don't know about you, but
I'm a little confused, and I'm sitting here in hopes that you know, the whole chasing the dog around the park. If you just sit on the park bench, maybe it'll jump up in your lap. But when you're in your 50s, that's not true anymore. When you're in your 20s and 30s, there's still a lot out there to choose from. There's a lot of different things. Everyone looks better. They move differently. And when you get a little older, you just have to realize, hey, I may end up sitting on a park bench feeding the pigeons by myself when I'm 70. It is what it is.
I'd be a disappointment to my dad because my friends still laugh about the first real heartbreaking romance I had that broke up. My dad's sage advice was, well, get over it. Just dust yourself off and get back. Women are like buses. Go to the corner and another one's going to come by soon. And Dad, I'm sorry, but you're full of the old crapola for wherever you're watching all this, because I've been standing on that corner for about 25 years and I haven't seen any buses come by.
And my dad would say, I always play bus. When you play bus with a woman, you hop on her and go to town. And so that's what my dad did with his bus.
So we live in confusing times, Tony, where everything's changing and we're supposed to be able to roll with it. Yeah. But it's a damn tough assignment.
We'll see what happens. info@tonycurryradio.net. you got any possibilities, anybody want to date Kip Kiefer? info@tonycurryradio.net. I'm also available out there. We're available for double dates. We're pretty good double date. I think we play each other off pretty well.
Not limiting anybody. I'm kind of liking this sugar daddy thing. I'm watching Bill Belichick operating.
There you go. Let me know how that goes for you, partner. I think you may be onto something, man. You may be onto something.
Maybe that's
just remember, even though a woman, you may think she's really independent, every woman wants to be with a man and every man wants to be with a woman. They can sit there and say, and normally if you say, I don't want to be with anybody, you just haven't met the right person yet. But when you do find that right person and they start, you know, your stomach starts to get butterflies in it, you know what you got. So I hope you feel that later on tonight. That'd be great.
Well, maybe I found some really good ones over the years, but it never works out because it's just so difficult now to get all those ducks in a row. And it's like herding cats. I'm using all these animal examples, but it's just that difficult because I think the word baggage is overused. I think people just develop their personalities and are who they are. And it's just the blending of lives into any kind of serious relationship that I think is virtually impossible.
Well, the new and improved Kip Kiefer 2 version 2 is out, ladies and gentlemen, and you've lost a ton of weight. You're looking good. If you watch us on our TV show on ABC 3340, you've lost 40, 50 pounds. You look fantastic. You've got the confidence back. Go get them, Tiger. Let me know how it goes tonight.
I will. This has been fun. I'm going to run over to the Walmart across the street, see if they got any posters for sale.
Do it, man. We'll talk to you a little bit.
All right, Tony.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.